Cindy, how many of you often like get that the number like 11-11? This week has been like 10 times. I don't know what that means, and I hope it doesn't mean anything, but I don't know why it keeps popping. I was just looking at it, was 11-11. Anyway, well, I do have a question, like, where is everybody? We should be there. Wherever they are, like, camping, whatever, like, we should go there, you know, after service, wherever they are, I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, my name is Johan, for those of you who are here for the first time. And we're going through a series of messages that we're calling I Believe, as the convictions of our faith, from the perspective of a question, and trying to make it as practical as we can. This is week 5 out of 8. So this is going to be, we're trying to set the stage for our small groups as we're really trying to help and to build a congregation and a basic and easy understanding and answers to the things that we believe in our faith. Why God? Why church? Why Jesus? Why the Holy Spirit? What is my purpose? Like the basic questions of our faith, and that's what we're trying to do, trying to provide answers that you can use for yourself, but also that you can use for others. So today's question is, why church? When I was thinking of all the questions, this is probably, it shouldn't be, but it is just so normalized that we really don't think as we should of this question, right? We get excited about, like, what is my purpose, or the Holy Spirit. Somehow it's like a little bit more intriguing, more exotic. But this question is, why church? Like, yeah, we need a place to congregate, right? Some people will say that. But yeah, so for Christians, this question is the equivalent to when you ask people, why family? So for Christians, why church? That question is the equivalent when you ask anybody, everywhere, anywhere in the world, why family? And that changes everything. Because that question of family goes to the top. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But for us Christians, you know, the church has made so many mistakes that we don't even, if we would have to pick a different word for church, we would, right? Like, it's just so, I'm attempting something today, trying to help you and trying to encourage you to see and answer this question with a different perspective. And that's what I would suggest for you to think of the word family. That changes everything. Because any human being, again, anywhere, even Moses and Cannibales. Cannibales. How do you say cannibales? Doc, help me, please. Yeah, those guys that eat each other, right? Even them have a sense. They have a sense for a family, a community, right? Even them that we think, oh, they're less human, you know, like we think, like, oh, they're not as, like, human as every other human. But even them, they have a sense for a family and community. And that's why they eat people. Right? They're trying to protect themselves, I don't know, for threats. Anyway, the point is that everybody is born into this world with a sense and a longing for family. In the same way that every Christian that understands being born again is born into God's family. So in order for us to answer this question, we have to understand what to be born again mean. Otherwise, it would just be a conference for some of you. So on top of that, or next to that, we also struggle with our individualistic and predisposed view of life, which is always trying to push our minds to believe that it is okay to have a relationship with God, and not being a functional member of a local church. I'm going to read that again. Our individualistic and predisposed view of life is always trying to push our minds to believe that it's okay to have a relationship with God. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I believe in God. You know, I believe in God. I know Jesus is my Savior. I pray. But they are okay thinking that it is okay not being a functional member of a local church. Right? Therefore, for many believers, Christians, being part of a local church is optional, while for others, it's a privilege. The mindset is different and it changes everything. You know, some of you can be here today thinking and you may be thinking that it is your right. You're entitled to be here, so you choose, right? Because when you're entitled to something, you have the freedom to say, I don't want to be there, or I want to be there, right? So you feel, oh, it's my right to be part of the community, right? For others, their view is, I get to be here. That changes everything. Where are you at today? This is a serious question. It changes everything and the way how you interact as a church member. That word is also another issue with this church thing. So the word member, please, don't think of VASA when I talk membership, okay? Don't think of that type of, you know. So where are you today when you think of that? It's my right to be part of a church, or I get to be part of a church. That changes everything. So, and yeah, pastors, our pastor, our team, we would like to acknowledge a reality that the church has and will make significant mistakes to give you arguments to consider and to believe that the Lone Ranger thing is your only option. And that's a lot of people are today, a lot of Christians. They have piles of arguments because of church's mistake throughout centuries since Jesus left the 12 disciples in charge of it. And people argue, well, it's not my fault that I'm not part of the church. It's the church's fault. And then it was like, well, but you're part of the church, right? So the congregation says that the pastor hurt me and I got sir hurt because of the way how he taught. You know, he was always judgmental. And on top of that, he was, you know, stealing money. There was a huge deal 20 years ago when I was a kid and I saw that and it hurt me. And then you have arguments because the church made mistakes. And he will again make mistakes. So how do we deal with that? Then you have the pastor on the other end saying, like, I am hurt because the congregation is not responding and is not doing their part in advancing the kingdom. So I'm tired. So you have congregation hurt, pastor hurt, and then there is no more church. And we're done. So everyone has arguments to complain. Everyone has something to say why being okay with God and having a relationship with God somewhere, you know, in the house or in the car when they're driving, I don't know, and not being part active member. Active, that's the difference. Active member, and I'm making an emphasis on that word because what we're going to with this is very important. And you're okay not being an active, functional member of the body of Christ. So, what you see today with church is sad. It is sad. The pastors struggle with the dilemma. Pastors, if they are, I don't want to say lucky, but let's use that word for the sake of, I'm just bear with me, I have one word for every concept in English. In Spanish, I probably have three, so just, I don't have another one for that. If a pastor is lucky, he works full-time for a church, right? If, you know, if he's blessed, opportunity, whatever, you know. And he spends 30 of those hours thinking on Sunday. How can I make my Sunday so appealing so that people stay with me? And I'm just giving you a confession, right? Pastors and their budget aim for a Sunday, for a good Sunday that is appealing, because they want to convince Christians that are part of a family to come here. It's like Christmas come, and then grandma and grandpa are really trying to get all the kids to come to their Christmas dinner and not to the other grandma and grandpa's Christmas dinner. So they are trying to get their kids to come to here, you know? It's fun. And then when they're there, oh, let's make it for Easter. Oh, yeah. We make it better. So that's the dilemma for pastors today, because the church is lost in their arguments and reasoning and a wrong perspective for what it means to be church. So it's sad for pastors, and we are trying to stay away from that reality. I mean, I struggle with it. I struggle with it, and that's why I was wondering, where is everybody? I want to go there. Anyway, so what is church? What is church? I think Jesus, and not just Jesus, even God from the Old Testament, and Paul explained it and gave us the best illustration for us to understand what type of relationship you and I are supposed to have with this, and is the concept of the bride that changes everything. It's the bride. The church is Jesus' bride. Just think of that, right? It's the bride. Why not the mom? Why he said my bride? He could have said mom. You know, mom is really important. You know, because we know that when an adult grows up and gets married, that person becomes the first person in their lives, right? And I know Latinos, sorry, I know you, your mom is your mom, and I get that. I'm Latino too, and my mom is right back there, and I'm probably like, I'm not going to stop for lunch after service by her house today. But the most important person in my life today is my wife. Right? Doesn't mean that my heart for my mom changed. It's different. It's a different kind of love. But why? What is the difference? What is the difference between the friendship that you can have with your mom or your wife? I mean, you can have the same level of friendship. You can share everything about you to your mom, and great, she can be a great coach, right? The same with your wife. You share everything with your wife, great. What is the difference? I mean, you guys know. Start with an I. Intimacy, right? That's what made the relationship special. And the other difference is the multiplication, the growth, the expansion, right? The other aspect of it is that you're not going to fight with your mom like you fight with your spouse, right? You with your mom, you just look down, and if you're have a Latino mom, you just expect to be smacked in the head, right? And that's okay. For Latinos, that's okay, you know? You know, my mom, I think my ears, like one of my ears is bigger than the other one, because my mom would just take me from everywhere, just taking me from, you know. So think of the difference. Jesus said, my bride. And he says that in Ephesians 5:25, when he's talking to the husbands, and he said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So is the definition is comparing the relationship with the type of relationship that Jesus has with the church. And God in the Old Testament, that's why I said this is not new. God in the Old Testament said of his people in Isaiah 54:5, he said, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." It's the same concept, right? In Ephesians, he gave himself up. He is our Redeemer. It's the same relationship. So, parenthesis, husband, that is part of your job description as a husband. You're the protector, the savior, the bodyguard, right? You're the one who's supposed to be sacrificing. Just that's a parenthesis there. It's not about marriage today, but it is about Jesus and his relationship with the church. So what does that mean to be God's bride or Jesus' bride? Let's try to remember this with which is acrostico. Acrostic? Bride. The B for belong. We were designed to belong. That's the principle. You and I and our DNA, both the physical DNA and what I call the emotional DNA, were designed to belong. No belonging is unnatural. Even if you believe that that's okay, and I worry about myself, that's it. You're lying to yourself. You're broken and hurt, and that's why you think that's the best option. But deep down, you want to have someone that cares for you, that sees you. So resisting to belong is painful. The problem is not with no wanting to belong to something. The problem is either not being able to trust or not wanting to commit. That's the problem with not belonging to any type of relationship, right? It's not being able to trust. That's why a lot of people, they don't go to church and they said, I'm okay with God, but I'm not okay with the church. So imagine your neighbor saying, I can be your, like, I can be your friend, I can mow your lawn, but as soon as I see your wife through the window, I'm going away. I don't want to talk to her, but I'm okay having a good friendship with you and drinking a few beers outside here. But I'm not okay with her. That's how Jesus feels when we say I have a relationship with God and not with the church. Okay, so just that's a paradigm. So the problem is not with not wanting to belong. We want to belong. The problem is either not being able to trust again the church because the church hurts us. That's, we know that. It's a fact. It's a fact. Or we just don't want to commit. We want to belong. We want to have that feeling of being wanted, being loved, appreciated, and being significant to something, somebody else. So the B, what's the bride? The B of the bride is belong. We want to belong, and we see that in this analogy of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 15 through 19. Let's read it together. Let's take our time to read that. As Paul is trying to paint a picture for how is it that it is impossible to be a lone ranger. Just as the body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. Verse 15 says, start trying to give the idea. Let's just think for a second this crazy thought he says. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, right? It will not for that reason stop being part of the body. Then he says, I'm going to keep reading here so that I keep the rhythm. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. You see, the word belong. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that would be really ugly. Kind of like an alien, right? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, one body. This is why being part is so important. And this is why a lot of churches keep pushing so hard for membership. Because they believe that that's the only way to help people understand that they need to take the next step in the relationship with the body of Christ. I get it. I understand that. But making someone to be part of a church through membership and having a diploma and say, you're one of my members, that doesn't mean anything if the person is not invested, is not functional in the body. That's why all our organs are functional. That's why even, you know, pinky, you know, it's just the perfect size for your nose. Right? It's function somehow, right? Or your ear. Somehow, I don't know. So we all are functional here. And when you stop doing your part, it's like that. Like when you're walking and one of you of your feet won't do it. You're sending the signal and it won't do anything. It's the same thing, and that's why Paul is saying the only way for that to work is with every part of the body understand that they need to belong. They need to belong. And belonging, it's easy because we were born with it. We're just broken and hurt, and we don't want to belong because we don't want to trust or we don't want to commit. So we need to understand that necessity to belong was a gift from God so that we can get to be part of his church. Okay, so R is for restore. Ephesians 5, 25, 27, this is so beautiful. This is what God wants to do with us, and this is one of the functions of the bride, to restore. And when you think of it, you think of your house and you will see it. Moms, they want to restore the heart. This is what it says. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Where are we? 25? Let's read 25. Is there? Ephesians 5, 25. Okay. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So 26 says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This is the function of the church. But not just that. This is Jesus' heart for us. This is what he wants for us. He wants to restore us. He wants to cleanse us and by the washing with water through the word to present. It's almost like getting ready for prom or something like that, for a wedding, literally. It's like Jesus saying, I want to make sure that when the time comes, you know, ready to dance, you're beautiful, you're ready. So, function of the church is restored, but we are also being restored by Jesus. And that is only possible when you belong. I is for influence. This is the missional aspect of the church, which moms and the bride also do at home. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says that you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. See that? It's functional. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is where a lot of us are doing a really good job. And this is where a lot of us have to continue growing, because this is the missional aspect. People that understand that they exist to be salt and light, they become influencers of society. And people that understand what this means, being salt and light of the world, they will always go and look at themselves and say, okay, I am serving a church, making breakfast. I am doing something. And they feel, oh, I'm okay. I'm doing my part. I'm putting the salt on eggs. So, like, I am part of it. I'm doing something. And what Jesus is saying is, you need to be salt. You need to influence society. And we are expecting the government to make decisions and to take our responsibility to change society. Right? So when we see a politician that is a Christian, yes, yes, he can do it. He is going to do it for me. That's not right. That's not right. And that's why we get split, right, as Christians. Because some people believe that it is the government's job to change and influence society, to be the salt and light. That's not the responsibility. That's our call. That's our identity. And that's what we are here for. So that's why we enjoy having partnership with ODM and Confluence and other ministries, because we want to make sure that as a church we are somehow touching out there somebody. And we want to become influencers of our society. So, D, this is where it gets fun, you know. The church exists as the place to have fun and to dance. This is where we get to express ourselves, our worship, our praises. This is where we come together to rejoice in what Jesus did and is doing and will do for us. So church, and the dance is a way, you know, I couldn't find a better verb, but this kind of gets it, right? It's a way of expressing that this is where we come and celebrate with Jesus and with each other who we are. The greatest and most powerful organization in the whole world. That's who we are. That's who we are. Because we have the toughest job in the whole world, to touch hearts. So we get to celebrate that. And that's why we congregate. We don't congregate because this is the duty of Christians. That's old. We come to celebrate, to love on each other, to support each other, to dance, to sing, to worship. And that's what I think it makes sense when you think of the R. Jesus is restoring us so that we can have a great celebration in heaven. That's our destiny, to dance. Jeremiah 31 verse 4 says, I will build you up again. In the context of Jeremiah saying this is something is going to happen to you because you have been a rebel and disobedient and you're going to be captive. But I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, you see the language, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your trumpets and go out to dance with joyful. So this is what we do every Sunday here. We celebrate. I am more, let's put it like this, I am more interested or in the business of helping you to celebrate than correcting your behavior. That is up to God and the Holy Spirit. I believe if I show you the greatness, the goodness, the beauty, the power, the majesty of God, I will have a better chance of being successful as a pastor. Because I can't change your heart. You know? I think pastors, and I might do that sometimes, you know, can get you to laugh and to have a good time, you know. But that doesn't change your heart. That's God's Spirit who does it. So I think it's better for me to help you, try to help you to look up and say, that God loves you so much. He's the one who come and say, hey, come and rest. Enter to the rest. Enter and rejoice. Let's have this intimacy relationship. I think it's better when we approach faith with that perspective. And that's why dancing with Jesus is better than thinking of casting the vision. We are a religion that is in the business of making people to behave better. That is boring. Who wants to dance like that? Nobody. So let's dance. Let's celebrate, you know. Let's celebrate. I was just at a conference, and it was this lady. Oh, my goodness. She made, like, I was thinking, like, 6,000 people that were there in that conference, like, stand up and dance. And I was dancing, too, with the team that I was. Like, we're just doing the Cupid Shuffle. That everybody was doing that. So we have to celebrate, church. We have to rejoice. We have to abide in his love and his joy. We can't stay. We can't stay with this, you know, resemblance that we are bored, that we are just so stiff. We have to make an effort to practice the dance. My wife and I sometimes, we do that at home, and we'll just play music, and we just, you know, do it for fun for half of a song or something, and then I go around and things. We're trying to celebrate our marriage. And the girls see that. They see that love. That's why we have breakfast. That's why we have Taste of Nations. That's why we do picnics, because we want to make sure that we are a family, not a school. We're not school. We want to dance. And E, let's talk about E. E is for equip. E is for equip, and I'm not sure why this passage is right here, but it is, I think it's Ephesians 4. I don't know if it's on the screen, but it says that God provided and gave us apostles. I was right there. Yeah, that's it. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, so that there is a purpose why we have leaders in our community. The next, is there verse 12? I'm looking there because there is a screen. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Then, 13, is there 13? No? Okay. You guys get the idea. Something was off there. So it's the idea of that we exist to be equipped so that we can serve. And that is how we function as a bride of Christ. We belong. We belong. We restore. We influence. We dance. We celebrate. Right? And then we are equipped. And we equip each other. There are more things that we can do as the church. But let's just remember that we are the bride. And when we remember these, at least these five things, that's a good start. That's a good start for us as a church. So I have a question for you. Raise your hand if you agree with this statement. God has a plan for the church. Raise your hand. Okay. Now, Raise your hand if you think that this statement that I'm going to say is even better. God's plan is the church. That is different. That is different. Because that changes the why we exist. When we think of God and his heart, all he wants is to reveal himself to his creation. That's why we have a Bible, the phone, and the huge ones, right? From the 1500s, like huge Bibles. All that is because God was so generous and say, I want you guys to know me and know my heart, that I love you so much. That when I created you, you did something that you weren't supposed to do, and then I had to show you my real heart behind all this. And the Bible came after that because God decided to reveal himself. So his plan to do that, to creation and to restore, to influence, to equip, to celebrate, and to help people to belong, his plan is the church. He doesn't just have a plan for the church. His plan is the church, and everything that is done in the name of Jesus is through the church, even nonprofits that are Christians, right? Christian nonprofits. So when you think, I am God's plan for his revelation to everybody else, how am I doing with that? That's why you exist. That's why you're still here. You are his plan. And I know that plans sometimes have to be adjusted, fixed, reviewed. And I know some of you are in that stage. And that's okay. We want you to understand and to know that we understand that not everyone is ready to do all those five things. Some people need the R so badly and the B so badly. And that's okay. That's okay. Probably that's why all you need, you want to belong, you want to be part of something. And we want to make sure that you understand that we're not pushing anybody here to be the A-plus Christian. That's not our job here. That's God's job. We're just messengers helping you to see that he loves you so much, that he cares for you so much, and that he wants to move you a little bit more closer to your purpose, your design, your reason for existence. And that reason for existence, if you are and you consider yourself a Christian, it's done through the church. You can't be a lone ranger. If you're hurt, do your best. And let's talk, because if you need healing, we are here to help with that. We can't continue complaining about each other. We can't. We need to practice R more often so that we can practice I, D, and E more. And that's okay. Were you hurt? I'm so sorry. Most likely, all of us have something to say about someone and about the church. But there is a reason why you're here. Still a little bit of hope, at least, that something good could happen if you open your heart a little bit more. We're going to sing one more song, and we're going to take communion. What a better day to talk about church than having communion together. So worship team, it's going to come and sing one more song. I'm going to switch a little bit and between English and Spanish because Ashley is coming to sing, and after that I'm going to take her on a date because she worked harder today than usual. While you're saying, what do you mean he's going to take the girl that was singing? She's my wife, so I can take her on a date. So, are you an R? Do you need B? Are you ready for an I? To influence. All of those things should happen through the church and in the church. And that's what we're getting ready for. That's our heartbeat. That's what we want to do. we're not perfect, and we are happy that we're not perfect, because that makes us more and more humble and more dependable of what God can do.